Hey besties, before we get into this, really quick note, the audio is not going to be up to snuff. It isn't right now, and it's not going to be because our microphone isn't working. There are a lot of technical issues today. They will all be resolved tomorrow. Please don't comment about the audio. We're trying our best, but it will be back to sounding crisp, clear, and under control tomorrow. But enjoy the show, because this one's a good one.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Here's Nikki.
Thank you, Noah. Hello, everyone. Hey, besties. Hey, Noah.
Hi.
Oh, between you and me, I'm feeling a little too good for a day that contains a lot of pressure. Well, not a lot of pressure. I don't know. I'm just approaching. I'm doing Conan in 4 hours. Yeah, less than 4 hours. Oof, I don't like to say it like that. Some people could run a marathon in that time. I'm doing Conan. This is my, it's probably like my seventh time on the show. Brag. And the last time I did it was in May, and it was over Zoom as well. And following that appearance, which was great, by the way. It ended up being amazing, really funny, and everyone was pleased on their end. And I had like I told you at the time that I had like a major meltdown after it. Like I was living with my parents in May, obviously, and after I got done with the Conan appearance, I like couldn't stop crying because I was like just regretted not working hard enough on it, not being funny enough, it being too, I wasn't quick enough, like all these things. And then it aired and it was fine. And my parents were like, I remember walking the dogs in our neighborhood during the day after I had taped it. And they were just like, they had that look on their face that they used to have when I was in like high school and all through my childhood when I would kind of overreact to things. And they'd look at themselves like, we can't really like even nurture this because it's so crazy and it's so irrational. Cause they were like listening to the interview through the door and they were like, it sounded like you had so much fun and like you did that joke and that like we worked on this. We, you know, I like went through my talking points with them beforehand. They were like, it sounds like you hit them all. Like, what is going on? I was like, I don't know. I just had this deep regret and I was like really riddled with it. Sadness over it. Like I had squandered this opportunity. Conan's never going to want to talk to me again. All these dumb things. And then it was great. And then it got like, not that these lists matter, but one of the jokes I did ended up as like one of the funniest like moments of 2020 based on, I don't know, some like, you know, Vulture magazine, the 100 greatest comedy moments. And one of them from that interview was on there. And it was just like, looking back on it now, I'm like, that was such a waste of, like, regret is so dumb because it doesn't do, I mean, I guess like it propels you to do better the next time and to like punish yourself. But like the way I'm approaching it this time, I'm not even trying. I just don't have that heaviness on it of like, it's Conan. This is your dream. Like last night I was looking at the stars on the beach. It was so beautiful. I'm like just laying out underneath the stars at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty dark out there, so you can see a lot of shooting stars. A couple times I thought I saw a shooting star, but it was just like a floater in my eye. And I was like, wow, that shooting star just keeps changing directions every time my eye moves.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, my God. I was like, seriously, like, oh, my God, that is a UFO. Wait, now it's moving up. Now it's moving to the right. Wait, no, that's my eye. That's my the direction I'm looking. Don't you hate it when you try to trace it? You try to like follow a floater, but then you're like, it's the chicken or the egg. Like, is the floater following me or am I following the floater? And I know floaters are a sign of early glaucoma. So yes, I should get my eyes checked. Please don't DM the show. But I was staring at the stars and I was just like, think about like, just celebrate that you get to like have a conversation with Conan. When usually when I go into interviews, why can't I treat this like, you know, I always over prepare, but it's like, why do I treat this like a gymnastics routine at the Olympics? Like I have to stick the land, like I have to Why can't it just be a maybe if I just show up and I'm myself and I'm not trying to hit all these punchlines, maybe it'll be a better interview. Maybe we'll be more connected. Maybe there'll be more like listening and riffing if I'm not worried about what am I going to say next. So anyway, I am just way less stressed about it. I went over my jokes like once with before I talked to the producer, once with the producer, and then once yesterday with my team and Andrew, my team being like the wardrobe people and hair and makeup girl and a couple other friends on the show, and punched it up and I feel fine. And the lack of preparation is making me nervous that I'm like, I've changed. I can't compete at the level I used to. I don't care enough. But maybe I'm just more confident that I'll just be myself, because I gotta be honest, I read a great Billie Holiday quote that I'm like obsessed with, and I'm not a quote person, and I know we have a segment on the show coming up, not today, but in the future, about quotes, because I've never been like a quote person. Noah, are you a quote person? Do you like live by any quotes?
I have personal mantras that I repeat in my head, like especially when I get angry, really? But it's not... I'm not a quote person.
What do you
either.
Say when you get angry?
It depends on the situation.
You're feeling like your fiance doesn't love you, and like, oh, you can't. I can't live like this. I can't. I need to leave him. That kind of like irrational thought where it's like, this behavior will not. I will not stand for it. It's not going to change. I need to leave.
Yeah,
is that a feeling you ever have?
That would be everyone is responsible for their own happiness.
Wow. So it goes back to you. Like
always.
It's not him. What are you doing? Yeah. To everyone who's in a bad relationship, not that Noah, this is not off of what you're saying. Yours is a good relationship, but like anyone who's like, and he does this, and she's this. Why are you putting up with it? What's your side of things? It's hard to do though. It's a good one. The one that I loved from Billie Holiday was,
yeah.
I took a picture of it because I wrote it in a notebook and then I shared it with Andrew because I was like, this is it, dude. This is the fucking, this is like life. This is like how I want to live my life. And I kind of have been recently. I really like, my whole life I've just wanted to be someone else, copying other people, just trying to morph into whatever version of a girl a guy would love, or like a Comedy Central wants this kind of person. Oh, I should be like Amy Schumer. Oh, I should be like Sarah Silverman. Oh, I should be like Taylor Swift. Like, I don't want to be me. I want that person's legs. I want that person's eyes. I want that person's hair. It's like, so this quote I liked, hold on, let me find it. Fuck. Guys, I swear to God, this is going to help us all so much. If I can just locate it. Okay, here we go. If I'm going to sing, this is Billie Holiday. If I'm going to sing like someone else, then I don't need to sing at all. Ooh. First of all, I love that Billie Holiday said that because Billie Holiday has a weird voice, right? Like, I'm sure Billie Holiday at points in her life was like, God, I wish I could sing opera. And maybe she could. I don't know the range of her voice. But she sang like this. You know, like her voice was weird. It wasn't
She's like iconic.
Like iconic, but like her voice was not like a
standard,
a quote unquote stand. Yes. Like I'm sure she wishes that she could have sang arias and Broken Glasses with her like falsetto or whatever. I don't know. Like there's singers like Beyonce who like by all standards is like the perfect singer, or Ariana Grande who can hit these insane notes. And then there's people like even Anya Marina, who does my theme song, she has an amazing voice and can do so much with her voice, but she was always trying to be something else with her voice. And one day she was in the car and she just realized that her voice is what it is. And then she stopped trying to be something else. And then that's when she hit. So, I mean, obviously I've gotten to that point where I'm not trying to be someone else on stage as much, but I think in my own personal life, like I'm not a bad person, so the things I like and the things I'm drawn to and the things I don't like, I don't need to apologize for them anymore. I don't need to hide them anymore. And if I'm not as funny as someone else, then fine. It's okay. If someone goes, wow, you know what? This female comic's funnier than you, and they comment under the thing, oh my God, female comics suck. Nikki Glaser is the worst. All she talks about is her vagina. I know that I'm not talking about my vagina because it's an easy topic and because I want to get easy laughs. I've never done anything in my life that is the easy route, literally ever. I've never fucking taken a shortcut because I don't feel like I deserve them because I feel fundamentally not good enough. So I always have to try harder to prove to everyone that I'm actually, I don't take shortcuts. So like, why do I constantly go through life like I am? If this helps anyone else, I hope it does. It's certainly helping me to talk my way through it. So I'm going to be on Conan tonight. I hope you DVR it. Watch it on YouTube tomorrow. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to be very myself in the moment. And I'm going to try to like celebrate the fact that I've arrived at a point in my life where I am a regular guest on Conan. Anyway, DVR it. Also, please check out the documentary Hysterical. It's so good. I finished it yesterday. Made me cry. It's so good, you guys. I'm so lucky to be in it. Hysterical. It's on Hulu. You really will enjoy it. If you like this podcast, you're going to love the documentary. It gave me just a whole new view on female comics. And like my hair and makeup people and my wardrobe people were listening to me watch it. They just heard it. And they were like, wait, what is this? We need to like follow up. That's how good it was. Just like, you know, the audio version. So please check it out. And it's on FX too. Also, it's premiered on FX. It's now on Hulu. Hysterical, Hysterical. And then Conan tonight, Tuesday. And coming right up, we've got Andrew Collin with some headlines.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Let's be honest with everyone listening, guys.
No, don't.
Listen, you're being fake right now because we just said that we were going to be honest. So we keep it. We keep it.
100.
Do people still say keep it 100?
Yeah, I mean, vibes.
Well, first of all, how'd you sleep last night? And then we'll tell everyone what we need to tell them.
I slept good last night. I mean, I got all 6 hours, you know?
6 hours? I think it's supposed to be 8. Noah, 8, right?
9 hours.
Between 6 to 8, depending.
Six is fine, but like you got, if you're doing sixes, you got to get in like an 8 to 10 at some point. And we all know that you can't catch up on sleep, but can you not? Anyway, so you slept okay?
I slept okay. I've been listening to Blinkist before I go to bed. Sapiens.
Blinkist, by the way, if you don't know and just joining the pod, it's an app where you can download it and you buy a subscription and it takes nonfiction and fiction books, I think as well. And it shortens them for you, but mostly nonfiction. To way easier to digest books, because the whole idea behind Blinkist is not that you're getting a Cliff Notes version that's like less impactful. You're actually like wringing out the towel of a nonfiction book, which is padded with all this bullshit because you can't sell a book unless it is thick enough. And the information these people have to give you is usually like a pamphlet's worth. And so it just makes it a pamphlet and you can read these books and or listen to them.
One could do that.
But it, you know, if you do get the zap, you don't have to do it like everyone else. You can do it like Andrew.
Yeah. So what I do is I try to break it up in 2 minutes. So every 2 minutes I dive in for around a minute and a half. I start to lose attention.
Yes.
But Sapiens, you learn about the evolution of man and woman.
Yeah.
And what I learned, I'm still figuring out because I'm at minute 45 right now.
You're so, at, where'd you say?
Homo erectus or Homo
Neanderthal?
Yeah, yeah. I just found out Neanderthals are different than the other thing.
Well, I read the actual Sapiens, but I only read like 2 chapters of it. So, you know, it's probably one of my favorite books because I usually just go, I get this. And then I just stop reading it because I'm like, it's so good that I want to like live this book. So I've been... So trying to find a caveman to date someone, an actor from the Geico commercials. No, I already know that the Neanderthal was the answer, and so did Noah, because we've already talked about this today. Because, guys, to be honest with you, we already recorded a whole Tuesday episode podcast about 4 or 5 hours ago, and it was so fun. No. The first part you just heard was from the original, but we lost the audio, my audio from the one we did, and we're gonna try to like give you some of the stuff that we gave you in that one, but. I'm honestly happy that we lost it because I have a feeling something's going to happen on this episode that we are going to be like, thank God we lost it. And that's how I'm framing this.
Why do I feel like it's me having a heart attack?
I know you get really sick. The irony is in the first episode that we taped today, there was a moment where we thought we lost the audio and Andrew got so sad. He literally like put his head down and like Noah saw his like whole energy shift, right? Noah, you saw him get tense eyebrows.
I'm watching you guys through Zoom and he leaned over to the computer and his whole face took over the Zoom and his eyebrows peaked and his face got pale.
Yeah, he got like, he looked like he had just seen a ghost. And I was trying to think of a joke about how a podcast could be a ghost, but it wasn't a ghost. It was you the wrong window for the QuickTime.
I mean, look, I was just, I looked at the wrong window and I just thought we had a great podcast. We're going to do it again though, right now, these next 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the best 40 minutes of our lives for the next 40 years of our lives. We're going to be the best. We're going to do the best we can.
We have to keep doing this podcast for several, at least we have a couple years that we got to do it for sure, but I'm hoping to do this the rest of our lives. So please do not, this can't be the best of our lives.
This is the best. After this, stop listening. We're going to do it now. All right.
Well then I'm going to have to die soon because I want to go out on top.
Well, I want to know, well, you never are on top, so it's probably not going to happen.
All right. Well, guess what?
You're going to go out on bottom going, choke me.
On the way here today, by the way, I did do Conan already. I was supposed to do it later in the day.
His show. Tell him what you did.
Okay. Well, I was on, just hold on.
Excited.
Andrew watched my whole Conan appearance. So we had to drive.
Conan laughed at me.
Everyone, yeah, Conan laughed at Andrew. I'll get to that too.
What?
So, yeah, he did. Conan got a good laugh. And I was trying to change the Zoom audio so that Conan, like, because I could hear through the headphones and I wanted Andrew to hear Conan laughing at him. But you saw it, dude. Yes. He laughed really hard. He like clapped and leaned forward. It was such a good Conan laugh. But I'll tell him what you did in a second. For all of you who are listening to the show regularly, you know that we're on location in the Cayman Islands and filming a show. We're staying at a place that is about 30 minutes from where we shoot most of the stuff and where this amazing green room I have is. We're in this amazing $11 million, beautiful house that makes me feel like I need to marry one of Andrew's brothers. Only one. Which one? Yeah,
my stepbrother, Jake the Snake.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Jake's probably going to stumble upon some oil or something. He's going to strike it rich.
There's a strong chance Jake the Snake marries a possum down there in Florida.
Yeah, well, you never know with Jake the Snake. But I am here at this place because our Wi-Fi was so shitty at our place that we had to come here and I got my hair and makeup done. And then I employed my new, girls on the show that are my friends. We're going to show Jen and Robin. We had them like set design and make it look like I have like a nice bedroom. When Conan got on the Zoom, he was like, is this your house? And I was like, no. And I was like, there is a guitar behind me. It's not my guitar, but I said, I am playing guitar. So I feel like it's okay for me to have it because that is who I am now. And then I got to ask Conan about the guitar. I mean, it was very cool. This is all pre-interview, but during the interview, that was really funny. And I'm glad I get to talk about it now when I'm really excited about it, as opposed to tomorrow morning when I'm, you know, maybe not as. So this is the benefit of it. You get a fresh Conan recap.
The best show ever. Best show we're ever going to do.
Yeah, that's it. This is the best show we're ever going to do. But it was just like, I always get nervous for Conan. I said that at the beginning. He is an intense person. He's so smart. I want to make him laugh. I also want to make him, I just want him to like me. But he was talking about, Noah, we were talking about, you know, what I'm looking for in a man and, you know, how I love a sense of, like, we were talking about guys being funny and complimenting celebrities. And I was like, you know, Conan, you're the funniest person alive. Like I go, you're like the funniest person. I go, not even like, you are, because that is how I feel. And I really do feel like I've met most people that are qualified to have that title. And he's the number one in my opinion. And it's not even really subjective at this point. So I told Conan, I'm like, you're so funny. He goes, this is the thing. Beautiful girls always say, you're so funny. You're so funny. You're the funniest person. But beautiful women do not want to have sex with Conan O'Brien. That is, no woman has ever, they don't want to hold your hand. And I go, Conan, I'm just going to calmly stop you. I think I said something like, I go, I told you already how I feel about you. That was like minutes before. I go, as someone who values you for your humor and who loves you comedically more than anyone, I'm not trying to be weird, but I just want to say that the other day, my co-host Andrew asked me, we were doing our hall pass. I'm not even a relationship. And I was making a hall pass and it was you and Dave Matthews. And I just felt like he should know that. I wasn't trying to come on to him. It was like, it was done. I'm sure people are going to be like, that was disgusting. She was flirting with him. Was not my goal. And I go, listen, I know that he said something about his wife. And I go, I know all about your wife. I know how you guys met. I'm always looking at pictures of her being like, how can I be more like her and attract someone? Like, it was like flattering, but it's true. I was just being honest. And it was just so nice because I got to say something that was spontaneous that I didn't plan on sharing, that he was my hall pass. I didn't even know. When we had that hall pass discussion, I was like, who the fuck am I going to say? And I was like, I know it's Dave Matthews. And I go, I think Conan, to be honest, because like, that's what I want, is someone that successful and funny, but I bet that he is like an emotional person. I would hope he is. And then I also talked about wanting guys to be emotional, but then at the end, we wrapped it all up and we were done. And Andrew was, I said something about you. I go, my friend was picking up my
headphones. Well, he had his assistant /
Oh yeah. He had Sona Movsesian, who we've had on our series show, Noah's Met Her. I love her so much. And she came in, she is his co-host on Conan Needs a Friend, his podcast, which is the greatest podcast. And I'm including my own just because they've been doing it longer. But I said that we had been watching a lot of clips of Sona and him to work on our dynamic because theirs is so fun, but kind of the same roles. And I said that, you know, Andrew said earlier to Sona before you got here that I said to Conan that, you know, he's standing up for himself. Sona's pregnant. And I go, Sona's pregnant. And I go, actually, I have my co-host is just like my Sona. I move the camera and Andrew is sticking out his stomach like he's pregnant in the background. It's so funny. It was so funny, dude. Conan fucking loved it. I loved the delay from when he was like, oh, that's her friend, I'm going to meet this guy, to being like laughing hysterically. Like, you got Conan to legit laugh in like not just a I'm being nice way, which is always the best laugh. And then did he laugh at anything else you said? No, he didn't. So moving on.
You said my name on the Conan O'Brien show. And so it's my first late night appearance. And I just want to say thanks to my mom. I want to thank some people right now, if that's cool.
We actually got to get to the news.
Can I just thank like three
people?
No, you can tell everyone you hope you're having a good time, but that's all you can do. And we're about to get to the news.
Thanks everybody for
Do you think this will get Andrew verified on Instagram?
I don't know that it is. I was almost going to mention that, like, can like make a plea, but I just didn't have time. And also I didn't really think that, but I really did. I want to do it at some point.
I just want to thank my dad. He always believed in me no matter how
much. He definitely did it. Like, that was not a part of your story. Mom, that your dad now believes in you and he loves this famous face, but he's not.
And thank you to like my teacher, Mr. Omeron.
Well, Mr. Omeron, if you're out there and still alive, and
no, he died. He killed himself.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sure it wasn't connected to trying to teach you at all, because that's not difficult. Let's get to the news. What? Did he kill himself?
Yeah, he really did.
Oh, no, definitely keep it in. Sorry, Mr. Omeron.
He was awesome.
I've been depressed and wanted to kill myself before, so I don't judge anyone who has done it. And I'm just very sad for anyone who's lost anyone to suicide. There's always someone you can call. There is a number you can call. I don't know what it is, but it's that name of that, also that song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to die today. The name of that song is the number to call a suicide hotline if you need it, and ask for help. Okay, so let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Wow, I love that voiceover so much. My sister loved it.
Well, are you guys ready?
Shout out to my sister.
Shout out to your sister.
She said, I love the part where he goes, oh, you heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
It's fun.
Lauren, straight up, coolest glazer by far, with brown hair. He was Nikki's sister. You are the shit.
All right. Well, the brown hair part, it's technically, I probably have brown hair at this point, so you weren't really.
There we go. You ready? You guys having fun out there? I hope so, because it swells, baby. All right, here we go. Bad sleep habits complicate ADHD, which me and Nikki both have. I actually have ADD. I was never diagnosed with ADHD because I was diagnosed at a young age, around 10, and I wouldn't even take the drug. I'd keep it in my front pocket, and I'd give it to girls so they would make out with me, but they never made out with me, but they would chase me around.
Because you had ADD.
Because I had ADD, and they would chase me around the school, and then eventually they got addicted to cocaine, and now they're all married.
Did they chase you around the school?
Yeah, they would chase me around for my Ritalin.
To get your Ritalin? How old?
This ended up like this was.
This I was high school, right?
Yeah, by high school, by like freshman sophomore year, they were chasing me around for my.
He was he was a coach on the cross country team. They just had him run in front of the girls who wanted to stay skinny, and they'd follow. Dude,
they only got a half mile because your boy got tired.
No, ADD meds have saved my life and like are very helpful to me. But I am realizing that I it's just so interesting to read about being a woman with ADD and how it manifests itself and how I'm not like flawed because of it. It's just the way my brain is, like, to not be like beating myself up about being messy or being disorganized or being forgetful. Like, I'm not stupid. I'm not dirty. I'm not like thoughtless. I just have a brain that has a weird thing going on and I'm trying my fucking best. And it sounds like I can try better by getting more sleep. Based on the study.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a pre-bedtime routine, they say also
pre-bedtime routine.
Sleep, go on your bed when you're sleeping.
That's not going to happen for anyone. They always say that. Keep your phone under your bed. Guys, when I want to get sleep, my sleep tips, and you know this if you listen to the show, sleep mask, find one that works for you. They're so cheap. You can try it a bunch. They are on Amazon. Don't buy from Amazon. They pee in bottles. But a sleep mask, you can even use like a shirt. I used my underwear the other night because I couldn't find my sleep mask. I wrapped my underwear around my head two nights in a row. And it smelled great. It didn't. I had to like roll it around to the backside because the front was on the part. But anyway, and also a white noise machine. I don't think anyone realizes how much light and sound affect your quality of sleep. So please try to make the room as dark as possible for yourself with a sleep mask if you can't. And then make sure to use white noise. And I would recommend YouTubing first class plane noise. It's a really good one and it goes for like 10 hours and it's free.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
Even in real life, because
you've never been in first class before.
Yeah, you make me sleep in them.
When you hear it, you go, what is this?
You're like, hey, why don't you get the middle seat in a row bathroom?
Yeah. You know what the cargo sounds like.
Yeah.
The rumbling of new trendy away luggage.
So great, you're the only person that pays $35 to find out how heavy the people are that are going to sit on the side of me.
Yes, I do. I pay extra. I fly a Dispirit Airlines and I fly Andrew on that. And I make sure that, yeah, the people are, first of all, I'm a big advocate of sitting next to fat people on planes.
I didn't say they were fat.
You said how big. Well,
they don't have to be fat. They can be very muscular.
And wow. I get it. You probably want more room on a plane. Everyone's cramped, but I will repeat myself time and time again on the show. If you are someone that you're on a plane and a fat person sits down next to you and you make any fucking noise or roll your eyes or sigh under your breath, you can unsubscribe from the show right now because you're a piece of shit. Final answer.
But you can subscribe to my podcast.
He'll still have you.
Yeah, I'll still have anyone really. Also with ADD, I had a moment in like my like late 20s because I obviously wasn't succeeding in my adulthood. I was in a ton of debt. I lost everything. I lost my car, my house, everything. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't really got it back. But I did finally meet with a therapist who gave me a book about like different jobs that are good for ADD. Like, because we grew up, it was a negative. And so, like, there are different jobs where, like, if you have ADD or ADHD, it's, like, fantastic. Like, sales.
Yeah, there are things that we are good at.
Yes.
We are comedians because we have ADD.
But if you're in the school system and you have to sit in a fucking chair for an hour and you're shaking your legs and you can't.
Oh, my God. Rachel Feinstein's story on Hysterical, the documentary,
yeah.
is just that. She was like, I was a – how did she describe it, Noah? She was like, I was a an education emergency. Like, I was a – code red, like everyone, all hands on deck. How do we stuff knowledge in this girl's brain? Because she cannot do it. She can't learn. She's a terrible student. And Rachel Feinstein, one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I'm not saying that, you know, just to exaggerate. It really is true.
Yeah. And I think like, I don't know. I just feel like we try to drug kids to make them feel like they have to be like this and exact.
I would have liked ADD meds earlier in my life, I must say.
Well, then the ADD meds.
As I'm biting off my fingers. Yeah. I'm biting off one of my guitar calluses, so it doesn't count, but it also does. But look at that hanging piece. Would you get that if I were you?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you want that?
That's a drug, boy.
Noah, look at that.
I love some skin.
Look at that one on my finger right there. Like, that skin looks real good, right?
Okay, next story. I kind of want to go to this one.
Yeah, go to a new story.
The first one. Good sex doesn't have to be long sex, says a sexologist.
Mm.
In 2020 study in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that it takes 14 minutes for women in a partnership to orgasm during penetrative sex.
14 minutes for a woman to come during penetrative sex if there's nothing else going on, like clit stuff.
Which included additional maneuvers and positions compared to male ejaculate, which research has noted to be an average of 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah, like women are running the light constantly. That's a comics joke. for their 5 minute set. We just go on and on. I think that's Noah, from if you were having sex, penetrative sex from any position, but you weren't also accompanying that with a toy on your clitoris, which is how I like to have sex. And I can come in probably 5 to 7 seconds. If
was
that's
it
the
Mr.
case.
Potato Head? The toy.
Oh yeah. The toy. Yeah. Yeah. It was a toy train set. I saw the word train and I thought it was a sexual thing, but it was actually Thomas the Train Engine that I shoved up my ass and it feels good.
Choo-choo.
I was trying to think of other train things, but I hate trains and like train hobbyists will like kind of creep me out. So I've purposely learned nothing about locomotion.
You don't like that little conductor hat? It doesn't turn you on?
I mean, I like that people are passionate about anything as much as they are about, you know, trains, but I just find it to be kind of maybe a thing that maybe you're on the spectrum a little bit if you like that, which isn't, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm on the spectrum, I think. But okay, the thing about slow sex, it doesn't have to be, what was I saying? If you're having penetrative sex with no toy on your clit, do you think that it would take that long, like, to come? Because I absolutely agree with that. Do you? 14 minutes?
First of all, I just have to be like fully in the zone. If I have any form of distraction, then it's over. And I think you've mentioned that last week on one of the shows. But yeah. If I'm like totally into it, I think 15 minutes is good, like 15 to 20. Usually not more than that.
Say something that I've figured out because I've just started exploring myself sexually again. And I'm realizing like, I'm not trying to be horny right now and be like, I'm a sex comic or whatever. I really am trying to help people because of what I've discovered. But something, and maybe I'm so glad you're here, Noah, because you can speak to this. Like, I haven't been having sex, but I like have gotten fingered a couple times, you know? And I feel like that, and that's all I'm willing to like really do for myself with someone else. And that though, sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to come. It's not gonna happen. There needs to be a toy, whatever. But it's just like, you have to just slow and steady wins the race. I get so impatient with my ADD brain. And I think a lot of guys do too, where they're fingering you and you're like, making moaning sounds and then they go faster. Like, and that's literally what I do when I masturbate. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's what I want, but I think the thing to do is keep it steady and consistent. And there might be, you might even feel it first as a woman. Thank you for nodding along, Noah. And I hope you're nodding in your car. And if you're not, please correct me. But I, just to help the men out and to help other women out understand themselves, I think a lot of times you have a penis in you and it'll be hitting an angle and it just, it's fine, but it's not doing anything right. Give it 2 more minutes of that same pressure in the same place. And I really think that you could squirt from it. Like it can go from being like, this feels like literally nothing. And he's hitting the wrong place. I'm not talking about it hurts. It feels like where you're like, this isn't the best. Stay the course on that place consistently. And I think, I don't know, but it's happened to me before and I'm not sure that this will always work, but I think if you stay the course, it will lead to amazing pleasure, which does take longer. So I, this isn't really off the news story of faster sex, but is this news story saying that quickies can be great?
I mean, it doesn't say that, but also if you own an oil field, same exact advice.
What do you mean?
Stay consistent and eventually.
Keep tapping the ground slow. Yeah. Don't over frack.
You don't want to overfrack.
I used to compare guys' fingering techniques to being like, are you fracking me right now? What is it? I said, I know it poisons our streams, fracking does. And mine is being, I'm going to wake up with a UTI after the aggression that's happening.
From your hangman.
But also when I watch a lot of fingering porn. So I also have this perspective, a very, like when it gets after that 10 minutes, when it starts to feel really good, then you can speed it up and then you can get, then it's like waterworks.
What happens as a guy?
Classic cry joke.
When they go, you know, stay doing that. A lot of the times that I find is A, it's either a position that is like, it's hard to keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
Or if I'm fingering a girl, a lot of times it's like my hand will be in a way where I'm cramping.
And
where
so
like I have to like keep going. And, but I'm cramping at the same time.
Well, you need to just
the setup beforehand is very important.
Right. But sometimes you don't know what feels good until it happens. And then it's like a weird thing where you're like, no, I was shifting. And now I have to hold myself in the air while I was moving this folder off my, like off the bed. And it's like, yeah, I like when you hold a folder. It reminds me that you might be making money and like being organized. But yeah, it's very complex and I'm very interested. And thank you, Noah, for like, confirming that a little bit, but like, is that interesting to you to hear that experience?
Well, yeah, of course. But what I, my point being is that, like, so, you know, we set up the, we have a little pillow that we use.
You then, and your lady.
Yeah. So just,
yeah, like, you're making it sound like
us.
When you say we, it sounds like you're talking about you and Nikki.
Or yep. us. Yeah.
Yeah,
me and
the boys, or like all of us.
Me and the boys, we all have a pillow that we
put. We don't know who we is.
Okay. This girl that I'm.
Yeah, if you're a bestie, you know that Andrew is seeing a girl in St. Louis. They're talking, which is just the weirdest way to say hooking up, and like,
yes,
but maybe exclusively, but we don't really know. It's not, they haven't had that talk yet. You know, they're two months into dating.
Long story short, just get ahead of it beforehand. Prepare. Six P's. Prepare, please, person, pick.
And punch that punch pussy.
Pussy.
Don't
six
do that.
P's. No, but just put a pillow there or just get ready because your hands are going to cramp if it's not just prepare beforehand. And I don't think enough people do that.
Okay. Well, this has already been a very horny news segment. We have one more segment to go. Let's get to it. Why do I care? This is our celebrity news segment. Trying to squeeze some meaning out of these meaningless showbiz stories.
Why do I care?
Andrew, why do I care about what you're about to say?
I don't know. I hope you do, and I hope people are still having fun. That's what I want. Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow, we all know her, the blonde actress, sends Demi Lovato a candle smelling of her own orgasm.
I do think I'm going to be friends with Gwyneth someday. Like, that's in my future. It's not like a goal of mine, but I'm changing my tone with people now because I could be friends with them. And I actually like Gwyneth, and I think she's probably cool as fuck. I've actually heard some stories about her that make me go, whoa, she's way cooler than I thought. Like, awesome.
She
like,
lived really, across the street from my brother.
Yeah, she's cool.
I would
cool.
see her house. Well, from so the she, outside. It was kind of weird.
I like how sexually open she is. And this whole vagina candle thing. Okay, so she sent Demi Lovato a care package.
Yes, and the vagina apparently, well, we don't know. Okay, we don't know, but Demi Lovato, she sent her lube, sex toys, and room spray. The wellness box had that this smells like Demi's orgasm candle.
This smells like Demi's orgasm candle. We don't know what it smelled like. And let me just tell you, these are all marketing ploys. Gwyneth, I love you. I don't know you. You seem like a good person. You seem cool. You did not send Demi Lovato this care package because you actually care about her. It was so that she would post it on her Instagram story and podcasts like mine would pick it up and talk about it. And then maybe girls would go out and buy Goop things, even though I would really recommend the Ordinary skincare line of serums, which is all I use. And they're literally like $8 as opposed to $80 for things. The Ordinary girls don't get it on Amazon. They might be knockoffs, but this is all to sell Goop. I mean, this isn't and then the vagina, the candle smelling like vagina, what doesn't matter what it smells like. It's all just novelty. It's like penis straws, you know, of like, can you believe this? And like, can you imagine a turtle dying from a penis straw?
How would you feel though if a guy was like, hey, let's put on some Barry White and let me light this pussy candle that smells like Gwyneth's pussy?
I would be mad that he spent so much on a candle. I would be like, you're not good with money. But if he was like, I got it as a gift, or if he was so rich that it didn't matter, I'd be like, oh my God, I've always wanted to smell this. I would be kind of flattered.
Well, my last girlfriend, I held it under her ass while I would eat her out. Just, yeah, she was cool with it though.
The burns though were
yeah, the
severe.
Smoke got me bad.
Yeah. Her singed butthole hair from the candle that also burnt her.
Oh, there was goop, all right.
Check out the podcast Poog, which is goop spelled backwards, and it's Kate Berlant and Jacqueline Novak's podcast. This isn't an ad, but it's like they are on Big Money Players, which is our same podcast network, and their podcast is phenomenal, and they're both the funniest, two of the funniest women ever. So add it to your roster, Poog, P-O-O-G, and they make fun of like all this self-care stuff. Okay, why do I care about that? Because it just makes me more aware that everything celebrities do is marketing, and
I love that you gave a promotion.
Well, I gave a promotion to two girls who are my friends and who are good people. I would never do that just because they are on the same podcast network, but that didn't have anything to do with it. Yes, it kind of did.
But they better promote ours.
But if those girls were not nice girls that I like, I wouldn't have said anything. But yes, I maybe said it quicker because they're with Big Money Players. But I'm just proud to be in a podcast network that has the best podcasts. So check out all of Big Money Players' podcasts because we're on a very short list of great podcasts that Will Ferrell approved himself.
Hey,
and
what's
let's
up,
get to it. It's time for our tried and true segment. You've heard it before. It's time for top two, bottom two. This is where we take a category and we go around the horn. Noah, me, and Andrew all list our top two things of this category and top and bottom two things of this category. We'll start with the bottoms. And the category this week is, Noah?
Times you've gone out of your comfort zone.
Top two, bottom two, times you've gone out of your comfort zone. Noah, let's start with you. What's one of your bottom times?
Okay. Bottom time is...
why don't we just do one? I'm changing top two, bottom two to top one, bottom one.
Okay.
I'm doing it on the show right now, live. That's how producing works. You can take it out later, but I want people to hear my process. We don't need to. If you want to add an extra, that's fine, but not required. This is also based on the fact that I don't have mine figured out yet.
Also, I love top one, bottom one. No one ever just goes, what's your number one?
Top one, bottom one. Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's worse than least, but top one, bottom one is a funny thing to say. So, Noah, bottom one of the thing.
Way more pressure.
Times you went out of your comfort zone.
Okay. A time that I went out of my comfort zone that was a bottom was when I was trying snowboarding, and I was, I tried like a more advanced trail, a blue trail. So once I got off the lift, I felt so scared and I just started crying, and then my eyes froze shut and it was just terrible.
Oh my God. I remember when you went snowboarding. This is since I've known you.
No. This was, when I was much younger.
Like that first time to graduate from a green to a blue, if you're a skier, is a very scary time. You know that 12 falls. That's what I nicknamed him when we went on a ski trip together, and he fell 12 times in one day. I mean, just an absurd number. And that speaks to your like fortitude.
Yeah.
And naivete.
It was all the same run, but
it literally was one run. He fell like 12 times.
Almost. How did you get down though? Did you have to get a ski thing, a guy instructor?
I really wanted them to use one of those like snowmobile things to take me down, but I just had to go through it. And I just went down really slowly.
On your butt, like scooted down.
Just like went a little bit, fell on purpose, got up, went a little bit more.
I get that. And then you fall and you go, I'm tired. And then you like kind of wipe your tears and then you get, and they freeze and then you get up again. And you, yeah.
It's awful.
That happened to me. Same exact thing happened to me. And I tried to go down a black and I got like a quarter way and I got too scared. And so I took a thing called It's a 10, but I didn't know that 10 meant 10 kilometers. And it wasn't even like, it was just,
it's
all
windy. Yeah. It's a 10 kilometer. It's very slow.
It took me
ones.
Like 4 hours, like so long. And where my friends thought I was like dead on the mountain, and they were happy because they wanted to go hella skiing the next day. And they were hoping I was hurt so they could fucking enjoy their time without worrying about
it. I bet now you would go on It's a 10 and you would actually just enjoy it. Like, as opposed to being like, oh, I hate this. Like, I bet now you could actually enjoy something that wasn't hard, that just took a little bit longer. I think that's how you've improved.
100%. But it was also, I was fighting daylight. Like,
oh yeah. I hate fighting daylight.
What about you, Andrew? What's your bottom one?
My worst. I mean, we all know this one, but when I stepped out of my comfort zone to have an orgy, and it was,
we don't all know this one. And honestly, I forget the details of this one all the time. I literally couldn't tell you. You have too many stories like this.
All right. So me and my buddy, Kelly, a boy named Kelly, we were 24. These three girls that were 20 that were also best friends. These girls were best friends with one of my best friends growing up. So I knew these girls when they were like 10. Kelly did not. So in my head, even though they were 20, they still felt like they were young. Like it didn't feel comfortable for me.
Yes.
Whatever. So we end up in the bedroom together, and Kelly has one sitting on him and one riding his face. And I'm realizing that I can't get hard because I'm too nervous and I'm too scared and I feel too, like, I don't know, just weirded out. And I look down and all I see is like Kelly's thumb. He's like Bob Dole. Like, I don't even see him. And
that's such an old reference.
And he's like smiling ear to ear and he's like having the time. Like, this is your dream as a man, to have three girls with your best friend just having sex. And I go down on the girl. I got nothing. She blows me. I got nothing.
What do you mean you got nothing?
I got no blood flow in my
penis. Gotcha.
And I'm freaking like wanting to cry. I can't believe I'm not stepping it up. Meanwhile, Kelly's
Did you struggle with erections before this, or was it just like the anxiety of this situation?
I was never great with it because I was drinking a lot.
Oh, yeah. And you were drunk at this time, too?
I had like three beers.
Okay, gotcha.
And I was also in my dad's house in my little brother's room looking at a Dale Earnhardt poster, which you would think would get me harder. But
yeah. Was he dead yet?
No, he didn't hit the wall yet. I hit the wall.
You did.
No, I actually didn't hit the walls. So I'm freaking out and I'm walking by.
A hot dog in a cave. Hey. In a hallway. Wait, what did they say?
Smaller hot dog. Anyways, so thank you. So I'm walking out and the girl that I'm making out with jumped on Kelly's hand. So Kelly has one, like a teapot. And so Kelly has a teapot one on him and one on his face. And they're all going, oh my God, you're a stud. Oh my God, Kelly.
Like, in your head, they are. Yeah.
No, they're literally saying, okay. Oh my God, you're Kelly, stud. Not stud. Stud. I went a little high. Okay. Okay. I
don't get, you got too close to the sun. You hit the wall.
I did.
You're hard hearted. Yeah. Sonny Bono. I mean,
clock
these are
is
all,
winding, Andrew.
Sonny yes. Bono.
We gotta go. This is a limited segment.
So I end up getting in the bathroom and I'm freaking on the shitter and I'm yelling at myself to come on, step it up, get hard, get out there and fucking get after it.
Yeah,
and,
you're
and
talking to yourself in the mirror.
And,
yes.
I'm jerking off and finally it happened. I came.
In the bathroom while the girls were in there.
I wasn't even hard, dude. I don't know how the cum came out. I swear to God.
Did you go, oh, no.
Nikki. No, Nikki, I
why would you
I just looked down and I swear to God, I wasn't hard. I don't even know how it came out. It was like the 10th wonder of the world.
Okay, well, I want to spend more time on this, but we got to move on.
What about your bottom, Nikki?
My bottom, just coming to, like, it's the easiest thing ever. It was when I did American Ninja Warrior Celebrity Edition. They called me last minute to do it. I was filling in for, like, Monique or something. Like, I don't know. Someone dropped out. And so they were like, do you want to do this? And I said, you know what? Yeah. Like, I want to take chances. I got partnered with this girl, Jessie Graff, who's amazing. And honestly, it's not a regret because it was such a, like, I look back on it, it's a good story, but I don't even think it was worth the story. And I think that if I could do it again, I would not do it because it made me feel really unathletic. Natalie Morales was on it from the Today Show. She was and so was the girl from American Beauty, Mina Suvari. And they were playing like, they were like, oh, we hate this. This sucks. It's not easy for us girls. It was just the worst. But then they did amazingly. Everyone else, I did the worst out of everyone.
How far did you get on the court?
I did like three sections, but I fell on the third one. But the third one was like this really high, like rope, like you got to jump for this, or you do a zip line. And then you have to, and then I fell off the zip line, whatever. It doesn't matter. I was not in good shape for it. I didn't have any time to plan. It was 2 days. I went and did like a filmed practice with my coach, Jessie Graff, who looks exactly like me. It's definitely a not me. But the thing that I regret the most about it was not only that I did so badly, but I got really injured. I still have a scar. I have scars from it. That circle right there, that was turf burn. I got turf burned so badly that my wounds didn't heal for about a year. I had, actual, you know, something degree burns from scraping my knees. And at one point I ran across these blocks that were like a kebab and had these blocks on them and you run across and they spin. And I had already fallen in the water at that point, but it was for charity. So they let you keep going. And so I was sopping wet, had fallen in and my shoes were sopping wet. And I go, can I take my shoes off? And they just were like, sure. Like, this is so dangerous to be on this thing without your shoes. And then I broke my toe on that. Didn't realize it until later. So I was extremely injured and extremely embarrassed. And I think they aired like 20 seconds of my thing. And I did meet Derek Hough and he was very nice to me. I met Nick Swisher from the Yankees, who I thought was a crew member as he was comforting me. I was sobbing on the sidelines at practice because I couldn't get past the first jump. And then they modified it so that I could. But at practice, I was sobbing and Nick Swisher came over to me from the Yankees and was like, so nice to me. And I was like, I'm like feeling this crew guy. Like, what's his deal? And then my boyfriend, who we weren't even dating at the time, but we were like kind of fooling around. He came to set and was like, he was like, that's so cool. Nick Swisher's so nice to you. And I was like, who is that? And he was like, that's a Yankee. I was like, oh, I thought it was a guy I could like get. And he has like a lovely wife. So Nick Swisher was amazing. And Jeff Dye was also there. And that was my biggest regret because I did the thing that I do in my career, which is like everything in me wants to say no, but I'm going to say yes, because I bet it'll be rewarding. And this time it actually wasn't. Noah, what is your number one, out of your comfort zone moment?
Number one has to be the morning that I took my first Brazilian jiu-jitsu class. Not athletic.
Walking into it. What led you to those doors?
I was just getting into wrestling a lot and someone had recommended it. I was also starting antidepressants for like, I think they had already kicked in. So it was like a month and a half, just like feeling really brave and curious. And I would have never done it if I was not on antidepressants, but it was the best thing I ever did for myself going out of my comfort zone.
I love hearing that. It really reminds me of how every woman in Hysterical, that documentary on Hulu right now, talked about doing stand-up for the first time. And that's how I felt when I did stand-up for the first time. I was just like, so glad I took this chance and it paid off instantly. Like you got like a heroin hit and then you're chasing that feeling forever. Were you just like walking on clouds when you left? Like, I found the thing that I love so much.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the moment where you were like, this is it? Did you punch someone? Did you get to kick? Did you use their bathroom?
There's no punching or kicking in jiu-jitsu. It's just the leverage of my body and being like, wow, I'm strong. I can be more self-aware and aware of my surroundings at the same time in a situation.
One class did that for you? Taught you like what this
one class.
Wow. I got to do it. I really do. Anyone who ever does jiu-jitsu or pretty much jiu-jitsu is the one that I've never heard someone go. Not say it's changed their life. Literally no one.
Well, what's amazing about jiu-jitsu is like a smaller guy can beat the shit out of a much stronger man.
So women can really like feel their strongest self in it. That's so cool. And I bet a lot of listeners are going to try it now because of that description, including myself. Andrew, what's your top out of comfort moment?
Oh, I got two. It's so hard, but I'll
make it quick because you spent most of our time on the last one.
Yeah. And then you went pretty long too. And then, so
I'm the host.
Yeah. We're both hosts. Co-hosts.
That's true. Co-host sidekick.
You're the main host.
Kite's co-side host kick.
Go kick.
I'll host kick you.
Okay. Essentially, I'll just tell this one then. I was in Budapest, which is Budapest, but you say it when you've backpacked. I backpacked.
Yeah. You say it in a way that makes me think you're really worldly.
Yeah. So I went to Amsterdam, Munich, Prague, Budapest, Greek Islands, and Rome and Milan all in a month. No, I didn't know about that. So anyway, so we were hanging out there and me and my brother were trying to figure out like an activity to do. We were very hungover and we met these Australians. Australians love to fucking travel. And these guys and a couple girls were like, yeah, we're going to go cave diving or whatever, like climbing through caves.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, yeah, whatever, dude, we'll do it. Like, we had no idea what we didn't even Google it.
Maybe it wasn't even out of your comfort zone because it seems like your comfort zone is just saying yes to things anyway.
No, next thing you know, we're climbing down a ladder 50 feet underground. And it like,
could you have backed out though? It sounds like you set yourself up where you couldn't back out.
You couldn't back out because you're down in the hill.
Well, I guess it's still going out of your comfort zone. Still,
next thing you know, we're in the cave and you can't get through the cave. You have to carve your body.
When does it become rewarding?
Huh?
When did you say that?
It became rewarding because I finally was down there. We were bonding with these random strangers. I stepped out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, you stayed in touch with all of them. I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah, no. I know Hank and Jessica. There was a moment down in the cave.
Shrimp on the Barbie. Australian things.
Yeah, he's really
backwards
cool.
Toilet swirl.
And I go, I want to do the hardest thing possible down here. And the guy took me and I had to swing my leg over a 25-foot like ravine. And if I slipped, I seriously probably would have like really, really hurt myself. Yeah. And I had to fucking walk on the wall like chopsticks. Like, and I fucking figured it out. And I walked 20 feet that way. Like, and I got out finally. It was 3.5 hours. We were underground.
Oh my God.
And we're covered in dirt and we're all hugging and drinking beers. And it just made me realize to never do anything like that again.
I mean, that is a once that worked out for you, but you could have died. And this podcast would be so
much better.
What's
your
problem? My number one is Dancing with the Stars. And I know that these are both shitty answers of like TV shows, but Dancing with the Stars, I was hesitant to say yes to because of my experience on American Ninja Warrior, which filled me with the same dread of like, I'm not athletic. I'm bad at this thing. I only like doing things I'm good at. Dancing, as you know, is my number one greatest fear, and being coordinated and having no rhythm, all these things I believed about myself that turned out were true. So it is true that but you can learn these things is what I learned. And I think doing Dancing with the Stars introduced me to my love of being involved with reality TV. It taught me about really working past that feeling of like, I can't and I won't and I want to quit and like not having a choice. Like when that voice comes up for me, I just give up because I'm my own boss. But when a hot Russian man is yelling at you and you have to dance on live TV, it like teaches you so much. I got amazing stories from it. And I also think it led me to believe that these stories I had told myself, about being bad at dancing, not having good rhythm, all these things that, yes, I am not naturally good at those things, but like people who are dyslexic, who go on to be have AD, who have learning disabilities where they start on a not even playing field with everyone else, it makes you work harder. If you work hard enough, you can get great at things, even if you come in at, like naturally bad at them. And for me, I was naturally bad at dancing. And it showed me that where I was even able to get to in just the one episode I was on, I would have never guessed I could be that good, even though it wasn't that good. And now I'm playing guitar because I learned that I do have rhythm and that if I want to be good at guitar, I just got to put in hours and not get myself voted off my own show called Guitar Idol.
Yeah. Would you go on Guitar with the Stars?
I am looking to become a singer, songwriter, recording artist. And I know that sounds crazy. And I know everyone's like, no one wants that, Nikki. It's like Michael Jordan playing
baseball,
playing pickleball, like even work, like no one wants this. No one even knows what that would look like. And I don't mean to compare myself to Jordan by any means, but I'm just saying like, it's an obnoxious when artists try to do other things. Final thought, I had a realization last night as I was sitting on the hammock outside listening to Taylor Swift Staring Up at the Stars. And I realized that comedy is the most unnuanced. There seems to be nuance in comedy, but it's the most unobtuse form of art. It's just like, this is what I'm thinking. It's coming from me. I'm not doing it through a character, through fiction. It's like an autobiography on stage, but it's almost more vulnerable because it's off the top of your head. So you almost have a chance of not being able to self-edit and say things that are even more like superfluous. Like I'm over-talked a ton on this podcast already and would have edited things out in a final presentation. So I think stand-up is the most just like no bullshit. This is what I'm feeling. There's like, you're wrapping it up around comedy, but it is very honest. Whereas music for me to write a song is seemingly impossible, or poetry, because it's too obtuse. Like I can't capture my feelings by being so vague and poetic. I need to be specific. And if anyone has any songwriting tips out there or like ways to access your feelings through poetry and not feel like so stupid doing it. Like if anyone started writing poetry and always felt really dumb doing it, and then you got to a place where you're like, actually I can do it now. Will you tell me how you did that?
I think you could be and I'm not just.
I know I could.
No, you could be today an amazing songwriter.
Yeah, I know.
You specifics are fantastic in songs.
No, I don't.
Yes.
But music lyrics are poetry. I love Taylor Swift because there are specifics here and there, but it really is about, you know, I was on the last podcast recording, I was talking about my favorite lyric that I told you about a couple times, because Andrew and I sometimes get wrapped up in whatever we're obsessed with. Let's say it's a person that we have a crush on or something. And you're like waiting for that person to reach out to you. And you put your life on hold because this thing might happen. And then it doesn't happen. You hate them so much more than if you just moved on with your life. So there's this lyric in the song August by Taylor Swift that I love. And she's talking about this girl who like is dating a guy that is like cheating on his girlfriend with her. And she's like, she has to wait by the phone. And the lyric is, I cancel my plans just in case you call. Back when I was living for the hope of it all, for the hope of it all. Meet me behind the mall. Meet me behind the mall is very specific, but that has so much meaning. You picture like this person's being hidden. This person has to be behind the mall. Why not in the mall? This person is a secret. This person doesn't feel seen. There's so much poetry going on in there. And then I'd cancel my plans just in case you call. How many times in our lives have we said no to something because we hope for this other thing to happen? It happens all the time.
I mean, we were talking about it now that you have a cell phone, but when we had landlines, I would be out at a bar with my friends and not be present at all because I'm just thinking about the phone. I'd run home around 11, check my messages. I'd have one message and they go at 3:45 p.m. And we all know at 3:45 p.m. It ain't freaking hot ass.
It's that you are ready to go to the dentist again.
Yeah, it's my creditor saying you owe money because you didn't pay your Verizon bill.
Well, I'm just saying that lyric in general, in terms of like writing lyrics, I would be a good lyricist because I like words. But for me, that song would be, and I cancel my plans just in case Katie Rao called because I'm trying to be popular with the girls and my friends are not as cool as them and I want to smoke cigarettes with the cool girls. So I'm in eighth grade and I go to Michael's with my mom and we come home from Michael's and then my friend Kirsten calls me and I think it's Katie Rao and then I pick up the phone, but it's not Katie Rao, it's Kirsten, and I say I gotta go because I'm not sure if our call waiting is working and she might get a busy tone. So then I hang up the phone on my friend with phone with my friend, who I really should be hanging out with because that's a real friendship. Yeah. Then I wait around the phone for Katie Rao to call, and then Katie Rao never even calls. And then you are never in the popular group. Sure. And then someday Kirsten will become more popular than you. And it's because she didn't cancel her plans just in case to call. And she lived her life, and it's attractive to people when you're being your authentic self and you're not waiting by the phone for someone to call. August. That's August by Nikki Glaser. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. Sorry my ADD meds were kicking on as soon as we were recording, and it was a lot, but we'll see you tomorrow. Noah, I love you. Andrew, I love you. Besties, we love you.